Welcome to the Last Round MMA.
The guy's never beaten me. In order to be the champion, you have to beat the champion.
A podcast for the MMA fan.
Imagine that. Look at everybody up here. They're all dressed like me. They're all trying to talk like me. They're all trying to be me.
Bringing you in-depth interviews and more from across the MMA world.
This is like pride. You know, everybody's here. I feel great. And, you know, I can't wait. Saturday night, I'm going to crush this guy hype.
Are you ready? Let's start the show.
Welcome to the last round, and today we have another special guest. We have Jeff Dar, aka the Mouthpiece Guy. Thanks for joining me, Jeff.
Likewise, thank you. Glad to meet you and talk to you for sure.
So something a little bit different, you know. Normally we get like journalists, boxers, people like that, and obviously, really probably one of the most vital people in the game. You know, you come out with one of the most vital pieces of equipment. So before we get into that, let's start with your journey into how you became Mr. Mouthpiece Guy, I guess.
Mouthpiece Guy, yeah. You know, it's funny, real quick. I mean, before I go back, I had a customer come in yesterday and he had asked me, so you're the Mouthpiece Guy? And I just kind of chuckled and said, yeah. And then I had told him, so when I first started this thing as like a company or a brand, I actually named it Pro Peace Mouth Guards, which Pro Peace was just short for professional mouthpiece, right? Mm-hmm. And what had happened was people that I would see randomly at shows or events or say, you know, getting a phone call, they would always almost start off the conversation with, hey, aren't you that mouthpiece guy that I saw over here? Or, hey, are you that mouthpiece guy that made so-and-so's mouthpiece? So people kept referring to me as that mouthpiece guy, right? And like, I couldn't get away from that. That's just what naturally people started calling me. So one day I was like, you know what? Let me see if mouthpieceguy.com, the URL, is available, mm-hmm. which it was. I already had the Pro Peace Mouth Guard one, and I was going to build a website with that URL. And then the Mouthpiece Guy one was available. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Let me just, if everybody's going to call me that Mouthpiece Guy, why not just call the brand Mouthpiece Guy? So that's how that started. But no, for a good handful of years, but this is way back, probably like from, say, 2006-ish to maybe like 09, I went by Pro Peace Mouth Guards. And actually, there's one person that still calls me Mr. Pro Peace, and that's Henry Ramirez, which was Chris Areola's coach. Mm-hmm. He trained Josecito Lopez for a while, because I've known Henry for a long time. So whenever Henry sees me, or if he calls me, he'll be like, hey, what's up, Mr. Pro Peace? Other than that, nobody even knows that Pro Peace Mouth Guards was even a thing. You know what I mean? Mm. But to answer your question, so I started boxing when I was a freshman in high school, like towards the end of freshman year is when I started boxing, right? And that would have been like, I graduated in 96. So this would have been somewhere like around 1993. Anyways, once I graduated, right out of high school, I got into the dental technology program at Riverside Community College, which is here locally, and actually the campus was in Rio Valley, which is just outside of Riverside. But so after high school, I got into dental technology. And what a lot of people don't know is that dentists don't make the false teeth for people, right? So if your grandma has a denture, or if you have a crown or a veneer or an implant, something along those lines, right? A lot of people will think, oh, the dentist made it. But the dentists don't make those. The dentists send the work out to laboratories that actually fabricate the dentures, the partial dentures, retainers for after you get your braces off, veneers. You see people get like cosmetic reconstruction of their teeth, right? They go from really busted teeth to a perfect Hollywood smile. A lab is making that for the dentist. So essentially, the dentist is kind of like a middleman, right? Anyway, so I got into that field. And my background in that, because there's a bunch of different categories under the dental lab industry. There's a bunch of, you know, there's dentures, there's veneers, there's implants, there's orthodontic, there's all these little categories. So what I got into was what they call crown and bridge, which is making crowns, porcelain crowns, veneers, gold crowns, stuff like that. Implants, you get an implant, which is basically like a little nub screwed into your jaw, screwed into the bone of your mouth, and then a cap, right? People refer to them as a cap, goes over that. That's a crown. So that's what I got into. Anyway, so I was working at a lab in Riverside, and this would be about 1999-ish. It was a small lab. There's maybe like 10 employees at the most. It was like a mom and pop shop. The family owned it. Anyways, my boss, which was the father, I saw him make what looked like a mouth guard for one of the dentist clients that they had. I was just an employee. I was just a technician, but I saw, and I kind of like, what is that? A mouthpiece that you're making for that doctor? And he was like, yeah, it's a sports mouth guard. And it was form fitted to like a plaster mold of the patient's arch. Right. And I was like, oh shit. I didn't even know those existed. All I ever knew of ever was the standard boil and bite. You buy at the store, you boil in the water. I mean, that's all any of us had. I had never even seen a fighter on TV or any athlete with a mouth guard that even looked like it was like custom fitted to their teeth, right? Even though they're obviously in existence at that time. But I would say the amount of athletes that used a custom fitted mouth guard was few and far between. Cause like I said, I'd never even seen one to even know that they were out there. And then I realized, holy shit, not only are they out there, but we can make these. And I was like, well, we can make a custom fitted mouthpiece. I'm like, dude, make me one so I can go spar tonight with it. Like, what the hell are we doing here? So once my boss made me that mouth guard, I remember just being like blown away with how well it fit and felt, and the breathing, being able to speak, and it's not flying all over the mouth. Like I was blown away. And the mouth guard he made me, and the mouth guards we were making back at that time, looking back now, were garbage, like utter garbage. But when you go from boiling bites your whole life to a custom fitted mouth guard, even one that is quote unquote garbage, you're still like, it's a mind fuck. Like, holy crap. I had no idea this was even a thing. Right. So anyways, I go to the gym and my friends, my family, we all fought. I have my best friend's older brother was fighting pro at the time. So now they all wanted one. Cause I was like, dude, this thing is amazing. So what had happened over the next few years was like, I would have friends or family come to the office where I just worked. Again, I'm just a technician. I'm just an employee. So my boss would, you know, sell them the mouth guard, make it for them, but he would like kind of teach me, you get what I'm saying? So I'm watching how he's doing this, why you do this way, why you do this that way, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually, like, he let me work on some of them and he'd be like over my shoulder. Right. So at that time, this was, so maybe like in 2002, I had quit that job and went somewhere else. So the whole mouth guard thing, it wasn't even a thing when I was working there. It was just every now and then a friend or family would come get a mouthpiece and I'd kind of learn how mouth guards are made. Mm-hmm. Right. So fast forward to, I want to say maybe like 04, no, like 05. My cousin, his son, Fernando, was fighting just as an amateur. Fernando was young. He had braces. And Ruben would always say, hey, dude, make Fernando a mouthpiece. At that time, I had opened my own dental lab. So I had my own dental lab business. But again, making just crowns and bridges. Didn't have the material for mouth guards. didn't have the machines for mouth guards, didn't have the tools for mouth guards. Everything I did at the business was for crowns and bridges. Okay. Didn't have the material to even make a mold of somebody's teeth, because that's not what we did. We dealt with just dentists. So anyways, Ruben kept bugging me. And I tell him, I don't have any of that stuff, dude. I don't have the material. I don't have anything. So finally he's like, okay, order that stuff. Order the machine that you need. Order the material that you need. Order the little tools that you need. I'll pay for it. And then you just make Fernando's mouthpieces. And everything else that you get, because we're at the gym, right? Like sparring and training and all this stuff, going to gyms. It's like people are going to want to buy mouthpieces from you. And it's pure profit for you, basically. Obviously not pure profit because there's the time, right? But he's like, you got everything now. It's all paid for. And I was like, fuck, all right, you win. So I ordered the stuff. Ruben reimbursed me, and I made Fernando's mouthpieces for him. And then now, being at the gym, at this time, I wasn't really like boxing myself anymore, but I was still in the gym training fighters. We owned a gym. So I was training fighters with other, like my best friend's older brother, my cousin Ruben. We kind of ran the gym. Anyways, so I had access to customers, essentially, right? So I would just kind of let people know, hey, I can make you a custom mouth guard, $50. It wasn't even, I'm telling you, it wasn't even like a thing. Even when I started doing it back then, it was not even like one or two a month. And it's for $50 here, $100 there for like go out to dinner money every now and then. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even, it wasn't even like a seed that had been planted. It was just, okay, whatever. I just do this. But then like just kind of more people started like contacting me to come get a mouthpiece, or more people even locally. And then I started seeing mouth guards with graphics in them. The first time I saw a mouth guard with some sort of graphic in it, we're watching a UFC fight. I don't know if you remember the Russian dude, Andre Arlovsky. Mm-hmm. Remember that dude?
Yep.
Okay. So he's walking out of, to come down to the octagon, right? Coming down the aisle. And he's already got his mouthpiece in. And he's like grinning real big. And it's got these fangs in it, right? And I remember just being like, holy shit. What the? That's crazy. So what's funny is during the fight, I don't know what fight it was, but obviously it was a high level fight, maybe a championship fight, heavyweights, right? And everybody watching the fight is going crazy over the fight. But in the back of my head, the whole time he's fighting, I'm like, how the fuck did they put graphics in that mouth guard? I was just like, and I'm thinking about how would you do that? Because I know how mouth guards are made. How would you put a graphic in a mouthpiece? And I was just confused, right? But intrigued. So anyways, I started trying to find like other mouth guard companies. And I found one mouth guard company down in San Diego. And they did a lot of like MMA guys. But the work was, I could tell it was quality work. And they did like graphics and stuff in their mouthpiece, right? And on their website, obviously they have like photos of their products and this and that. And no lie, dude, you could ask my buddy Francisco that worked for me for a long time. I would sit at my computer. Everybody's working, whatever, the business is running. But I'd take breaks and sit at the computer and look at their website and just stare at the photos of all their different mouth guards with all these designs in it. And I would try to figure out in my head, how did they put those in there? You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to deconstruct how they did that by looking at just photos of the final product. Anyways, there was a pro at our gym and he got a mouth guard from somebody out like in LA. Okay. We're in Hemet, which is buff fuck nowhere. If you ask anybody, right? Like 2 hours outside of LA in the middle of nowhere, Hicktown. There's nothing but tweakers and pregnant teenagers. So Eddie gets a mouth guard in LA. And it had like his last name on the front of it. I remember it was a clear mouthpiece, and it just had the four letters of his last name on the front. Anyways, one day, I guess it was bothering him. It was like hurting his gums or something like that. So him and his dad came to the office so I could adjust it for him, right? So it wouldn't hurt him so bad. So in doing that, I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. I can tell how they're putting graphics in it. And I figured out that they're layering, because mouth guards are made of sheets of mouth guard material. And you form them on top of the plaster model of the athlete's teeth. That's all mouth guard is made, essentially. Mm-hmm. What I realized in just looking at Eddie's mouth guard in my hand while making the little adjustments for him so it didn't hurt, is that they were putting essentially like stickers in between the layers, right? So let's say here's the base layer of the mouth guard that actually comes in contact with the teeth. Mm-hmm. And then they put some stickers here. And they put another layer on top of the mouth guard, clear. Okay. So now you have one mouth guard, but in between sandwiched is some letters. So then I realized, okay, that's how they're doing it. Okay, got it. So then I tried doing my own version. But then I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't even really try to figure how many hours I spent staring at that guy's website in San Diego. And just trying to figure out how do you do this. I was having issues every time I would do a mouth guard like every day at the office to try to figure out how this is done. And I was always having issues. Didn't look clean, didn't look good, whatever the issue was. And I just spent forever staring at this guy's website till it started to click. And I kind of figured out, okay, I think they're doing this. Let me try this. Okay, that worked. All right. And then more staring at this damn website. I probably knew more about this guy's website than he did. I mean, I spent like a long, long time, lots of hours. And then just trial and error, right? Trial and error, trial and error. And then I figured out, okay, I can offer putting your name in it or putting a little logo in it. Or, you know, you get what I'm saying? So once that happened, then more people would want a mouth guard because now it's kind of cool. Right. And not a lot of people, you know, were sporting mouth guards with a name in it or logo or what. You didn't see that a lot. So it was unique. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So people started coming to me more for mouth guards. But again, it wasn't even, I want to say like till 06-ish is probably when I said, okay, let me make some business cards. Let me give it a name, which was Pro Piece Mouth Guards. I'll make some business cards. I'll make some little flyers. And now when we go to the gym to go spar, when we go to fights, when people come to our gym to spar, whatever, I'll hand out cards. You know what I mean? But it was still just like, I would call that a hobby at best at that point. It's a hobby that made me a little extra money to go party on the weekend or to go eat somewhere nice. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't a supplement of the income. It was literally just pocket money to go, you know, blow. And it just grew from there. It just grew from there. And being competitive, here's the thing. So I'm competitive, right? I mean, I always played sports. I boxed. So I just by nature, I'm competitive. So I started like really having the desire, that competitive desire to make them even better than the guy in San Diego that I used to be, you know, admired his work, right? Like those mouth guards that he made were really, really, really nice. You know what I mean? But then I'd say, no, I got to learn how to make these better. I got to make them more comfortable, better looking, whatever. So for years, I would have an idea on either how to make a mouth guard look better, fit better, feel more comfortable, protect better. And I would make it with that new idea. I would make one for myself and then I'd go use it, right? I'd go spar for a week or two with it or a month until I had another idea. Cause it was constant. Like the wheel would never turn off. Right. And every time I thought I had, oh man, this is perfect. Somehow, some way, something else would, what if you did this differently? And I'm like, shit, okay, let me make one. And then I try it. You know what I'm saying? So that happened for a long time. Even I would say now I don't spar anymore. And I don't think, I mean, who knows, right? But I don't know if I can make the mouth guard any better at this point. But up until even, shoot, man, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I was still sparring. I was going to Baldwin Park Boxing Club, which is just like a couple cities over from Covina. No, like one city over from Covina. And we had like a little group sparring session with older guys that all fought when they were younger. So we'd all get together and spar like on Tuesdays and Thursdays or something like that. And I had had a new idea. Again, this is my little, how can I improve this? So I made my mouthpiece and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go spar with it. And no lie, some people, maybe they believe me, maybe they don't, I don't care. Anyways, we're getting ready to spar. And I'm looking for my gloves, my headgear, you know, my gym bags on the ring, right? Getting ready to spar. And I'm looking for my mouthpiece and I can't find it. It's not in the case. It's not in the bag. I can't find it. And then maybe like 15 seconds into searching for my mouthpiece, I realized I was wearing it. And I was like, whoa. No fucking way did I literally forget that I was wearing this thing. Mm-hmm. And it was what I would consider like the heavy duty style mouth guard, like the optimal protection. But I had came up with this version of it to make it feel so comfortable. That was the whole point. And when I realized that I was wearing it and I forgot I was wearing it, I was like, dude, I nailed it. Mm-hmm. I nailed it. How do I go up from here? You know what I mean? And that was probably like, I'd say maybe like 5 years ago. But since then, I don't think I've changed much in the actual fabrication of the mouth guard. But being competitive, that's what kind of drove me, because there's plenty of people that make mouth guards out there. There's plenty. Even before I got popular, before some of the other companies you can Google and find, or, you know, anybody that's at a local gym, they're going to have somebody that they can point you to, right? But it was always kind of like what I call I know a guy type business. It wasn't like out there where everybody knew about it, just you had to know a guy. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, there's a dentist that does it for you. Or, oh, yeah, I know this guy that makes dentures out of his garage. He can make you a mouth guard. It was like one of those things, right? But that competitive nature in me, I don't think a lot of people in the mouth guard industry maybe don't have that. Because a lot of the mouth guards available out there, even the ones that are good, suck dick. Like, they're horrible. The quality of the work. I have a stack of mouth guards that I've ordered from all my competitors, and they're all trash. You know what I mean? They're all trash. But if you're going from a Boylan Bite, you've never had a custom mouth guard ever in your life, to one of these mouth guards, you're going to be like, oh man, this is the best mouth guard company out there. But that's like saying Domino's is the best pizza when all you've eaten is Domino's.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Mm. And it's just being competitive. And I think since I don't fight and I don't spar, like that energy, I still have to kind of like compete somehow, some way. So, but that's kind of like how it started, right? Going way back to when I was, you know, right out of high school into the dental technology thing. And then it just grew. It just grew little by little by little grew. I remember one time, this is when I was still in Hemet and I still owned my dental lab. And you know, the mouth guard thing got a little more popular, right? It was getting more popular. And somebody asked me something like, hey, you know, you don't want to do just mouthpieces full time? And I remember being like, man, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to do just mouth guards. Because doing dental work for dentists, man, that sucks. That's kind of a shitty job. You know, dentists, they shit on their labs that they use. They're really cheap. So you could have like a good relationship with the dentist that you've been doing their work for a really long time. And then somebody comes along and offers them, you know, crowns for $5 less. And they'll just gone. A lot of dentists don't pay their bills. You got to chase them down for their bills to get paid. Yeah. So like at that time, I was like, man, that'd be really cool. And finally, when I decided to sell that business and move out to the LA area to do mouth guards full time, like it was a big time risk, big time gamble. Because I wasn't doing nearly enough mouth guards on, say, a monthly basis to really like cover the rent. You get what I'm saying? Mm. I was like, fuck it. I got to do this. And I remember like maybe like after a week or two of no longer working with dentists, dude, my stress level went like from here to here. And I was like, regardless if I don't make a ton of money or even enough money, man, that just getting out of that business was like the best thing ever. My hair would be gray if I stayed in that dental lab business, man. Even though sometimes this freaking industry sucks balls too sometimes. But for the most part, you know, I enjoy it. But yeah, that's pretty much kind of how it got started. And just word of mouth, and it just grew. And once I got out here to LA area, you know, I was more accessible to people. You know what I mean?
So, you said that you fought, you did some sparring. I'm sure everybody listening, to what type of level? Amateur, or did you do any pro?
So, yeah, so I fought just as an amateur, never fought pro. I had a couple fights. This was like it was right after 9/11. It was a tournament. It was like a tough guy type tournament. Mm-hmm. And it was at Kahwea Creek Casino, which is kind of towards like San Diego area. It's like an Indian reservation casino. And it was like a one night tournament where you fight. If you win, you fight again. If you win, and then you fight again, you win like $1,000 or something like that. And I won the first fight. I lost the second fight. The dude that beat me, he ended up winning his next fight. So he won the whole thing. But that was bullshit because that dude got a bye. So the way the tournament structure worked out, and that first fight, dude, I was freaking gassed after that fight. But then, you know, you get some downtime to recoup while other fights are going on. Then it's like, okay, now what is it? The second bracket of fights. Mm-hmm. So that dude was fresh. But here's what's funny about that. So some years back, it was when Maidana fought Mayweather the first time. Mm-hmm. Whatever year that was, 2014, I think. Anyways, I had made a mouth guard for Maidana that had, 47 and one.
Right.
Because I think Mayweather at the time was like 47 and 0. So I approached Robert Garcia about making Maidana a new mouthpiece that said 47 and 1. Right. And somehow, like, you know, I took a photo with Maidana with the mouthpiece and just posted it like on my Facebook and on my Instagram. And that shit went viral for like a good week. That photo went viral. And I remember my phone notifications just being like, it was crazy. The Instagram, like, whoa, what the hell? And Bleacher Report got a hold of that photo and posted it. And it wasn't so much about me, but it was, you know, Marcos Maidana, you know, he's making a statement that he's going to beat Floyd Mayweather with his mouthpiece saying 47-1. So anyways, in one of the, on my Instagram post, one of the comments was, "Hey, Jeff, good to see you're doing good. I met you back in 1999 at Kahwea Creek Casino." And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I fought at that casino that night. Cool. He's like, yeah, you fought me. Like, what the fuck? And I click on his profile. I'm like, I read his name. I'm like, oh, shit. And I see his photos and I recognize them. I'm like, oh, shit, dude, that's crazy. And then the other dude I fought, same thing. It was maybe, I don't think it was that same post, but as another post, "Hey bro, remember me? We fought in Kahwea 1999 I was like, oh shit. So like I reconnected with those two dudes that I fought that night through that picture of Maidana's 47 and one mouthpiece. So that's always just like a funny story to me, that especially how the way that dude like introduced himself, the way he said, "Oh, I met you at the casino in 99 was kind of funny, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, right on, cool, I fought there. And he's like, yeah, you fought me, right? Like that, right. Shit, that always cracks me up. But yeah, so I had a couple fights that night, and then I had a couple fights. I don't know if you've ever you've probably heard of them or maybe known some friends. Well, you're a police officer, battle of the badges type events. Mm-hmm. It'll put like police versus sheriff.
Yep.
Or EMT versus a fire, and it's like a charity boxing event. So our gym was sponsored by a company that used to host those. So they got me in to fight because one of the dudes that was fighting had like a good amount of boxing experience. A lot of those dudes don't have boxing experience, right? Mm. But they train for a little bit. Their family comes out and it's a big old, they're a lot of fun. Those shows are sometimes funner than a pro show, right? They're a lot of fun. So he matched me up with that dude. So total, I had like 6 amateur fights when I was younger. Then I had a couple of those Battle of the Badges fights and then that like Tough Man type tournament. Hey, but that Tough Man was with small ass gloves, no headgear, no shirt. Like, dude, people were getting knocked out that night. It was crazy. That was a crazy little like, oh shit, this is real. But luckily I didn't get knocked out.
I watched a few of your fights on YouTube, and one of the fights, I think it might be one of the Tough Man ones because I don't believe you had a shirt and stuff on. One of the guys' comments was, whoa, mouthpiece guy got hands.
Ah, that's funny. Yeah, there's some of those comments on there. Yeah, that's funny. You wouldn't suspect it. I always tell people, yeah, you look at me, you talk to me, you wouldn't think at all that I fought or I can fight. So I've kind of always gotten those comments, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's funny. Mouthpiece guy got hands. That's funny. I think there's even one where, because I sparred, okay, so there was this kid at Robert Garcia's gym when he was in Oxnard. His name was Tapia. He's a little bit, what's the proper word? Mentally challenged, mentally disabled. He's a little slow, right? Special needs, but not like totally, just he was a little off, right? But he got along with everybody. Everybody loved him. He was, you know, I would say 19, 20 years old. He's a big kid, right? But he's always at the gym training and stuff. Anyways, so Robert was going to have a show, an amateur show, like in the near future. And this kid, Tapia, was going to fight in it. He wanted to fight in it, right? And Tapia was kind of like really popular, especially like on Ellie Secback videos and stuff like that. Like Tapia was kind of popular in that like little circle of Robert Garcia's guys, right? Mm-hmm. So one time I was over there like to do mouthpieces. And, you know, they're saying Tapia's going to fight. I'm like, dude, I'll spar with him. If he's going to fight, I mean, if you're going to fight, you need sparring, right? And I was like, I'll spar with him, you know, and I'll work with him. I'll, you know, take it easy on him. So Rob was like, yeah, when you come back next week, bring your gear and you can spar with him. I'm like, all right, cool. And it wasn't even like, I wasn't like, oh, I'll spar him. But it was really like, I'll help him out. You know what I mean? It's going to be his first amateur fight. So anyways, I brought my gear. And it's funny because right when I get there, Robert's like, hey, bro, you better be ready because Tapia, like, he goes hard. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, bro, he goes hard. I'm like, all right. So anyways, I sparred Tapia. Here's what's fucked up. We sparred 2 rounds. And I'm trying to go easy on him, but I don't think he understands, like, he's just working. I think he hears the bell and he just thinks, oh shit, it's go time, right? Which sometimes that's good to have in sparring. Anyways, he's fucking going hard, dude. Kid's going hard. So I had to kind of go kind of hard, right? And so we spar like the first round. And the second round, dude, we're sparring. And I've seen them do this before, where if 2 kids are sparring and they're kind of going at it pretty good, they unplug the bell. So those kids will spar like 6-7 minutes straight, right? And sure enough, those fuckers did that to us in the second round of sparring Tapia. Anyways, the point is, yeah, in those videos, like Ellie posted it on his videos and I posted on mine, you'll see those funny little comments. Oh, shit. Mouthpiece guy's got hands. And I had long hair back then. Like, I had, like, really long hair. Oh, shit. I had no idea mouthpiece guy could box or whatever. So, like I said, those comments, and I always crack up at them, man. Some comments are funny. Some are like, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? But, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much my boxing career. But again, I was still sparring up until about 5 years ago. No, even less, right before the pandemic, I sparred. Because I train at the same gym, or I was training at the same gym that Joette Gonzalez trains at, and they had like an open sparring one day, and there was a heavyweight there. So I was like, all right, I'll spar him. But that was right before the pandemic, because his fight actually got canceled right when the pandemic like hit. He had a fight coming up like on ESPN or something, and they canceled it. So this would have been like January-ish of 2020. That would be like the last time I sparred But yeah, I got to hold on to my brain cells. I don't have much left.
When you were making the first few mouthpieces and you were doing like the trial and error stage, what were the most common things that you, I'm assuming that you gave it to other people to wear and then you'd get criticism from them. What was the kind of the common things that they wanted changed in it?
Oh man, I would say probably thickness, whether too thin or too thick. And that took me a long time to really dial in to where thick enough to protect, thin enough to be comfortable. And that's kind of like I told you how that time I forgot I had a mouthpiece in my mouth.
Right.
And I kind of like patted myself on the back because that's always kind of been like the main thing. If there's a single complaint that's kind of common, right? Even if your quality is still good, the fit is still good, the look of the mouth guard is still good, that's probably the one complaint that you'll probably always get. And part of it is, first of all, the mouth. And I know that you're like, what do you mean the mouth? Everybody's different, right? So not only everybody's teeth different, I mean, that's how they identify dead bodies sometimes, right? But the structure of, say, your soft tissues and the cheeks and the lips. So for example, let's say you and I both got a mouth guard made. And we both chose the same, what we'll call thickness of the mouth guard, right? And then the mouth guard is made using the exact same amount of material for both of our mouth guards, okay? First of all, when the mouth guards are finished, there might be a difference in the thickness of the finished product. You can't control it. Everybody's arches are different. Let's say somebody that has a lot of staggered teeth versus somebody that has straight teeth. So there's certain aspects that go into it that are just kind of out of your control. Because once you heat up a sheet of mouthguard plastic and mold it over the plaster model, the end result is the end result, okay? So first of all, there's that, right? Where you and I could both get the same thickness made with the same, and there still might be a little variance in the thickness, right? Like you could hold mine and go, oh man, yours feels thicker than mine, or vice versa. Second thing is, let's say you've had custom mouth guards for a long time made from whoever, and they made their mouth guards for you a certain thickness. And then you come here and you get a mouth guard from us, and you choose a certain thickness from us. And it's different than what you're used to, right? Let's say, even though I could sit you down and show you how, okay, our mouth guard is better, okay? For this reason, for this reason, for this reason. If you're super accustomed to, say, a really thin mouth guard, and I give you one that, to me, that thin mouth guard isn't that good for you. You should step it up a little bit. So I make you this thickness. You may still complain and say, this mouth guard is too thick. And it's not that the mouth guard is too thick. It's just not what you're accustomed to. So therefore, you say it's too thick, or vice versa. You're used to a mouth guard that's super thick. And let's say I don't make these super thick mouth guards anymore, right? Our thickest mouth guard is nowhere near the super thick versions that you're accustomed to. Well, then you're going to get it and say, this mouth guard isn't thick enough. And it's not that it's not thick enough. It's just not that what you're accustomed to. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So that would be the answer to that question is thickness. You know what I'm saying? And we used to offer four. I want to say, I don't think we ever offered five different thickness versions. I know we did four. And then we cut it to three. Now we're down to two. And that just makes the ordering process a lot easier. You got thick or you got thin? Simple, right? Where before, like, let's say you got this one, this one, this one, this one. Dude, you know how many times I had to respond to emails or answer phone calls because people are like, which one should I get? And even though we have our recommendations for you do this sport, you do this one, you do this sport, right? People don't listen to that. I don't know why. It's like, dude, I've done thousands of these. If I recommend a certain thing for your sport, There's your answer. But anyways, so people will be really confused with which one should I get. Same thing with some of the competitors. Like if I go online and I order a mouth guard from a competitor, they have all these different options, and then they have these weird names for these different options, and it's confusing. And the thing is, so let's say you got four thicknesses, right? The difference between this one and this one, you're barely going to notice at all. Where the difference between this one and this one, you'll notice. You know what I'm saying? The difference between here and here, you're barely going to notice. So that's why eventually we limit it down to two. So you got like a standard, which is like a universal, good enough for just about every sport. Maybe not recommended for, say, professional boxing, professional MMA. But I can tell you without a doubt, a lot of professional fighters use a thinner mouth guard because that's what they're accustomed to. Even though I don't recommend that, but they're accustomed to that. They like the feel of it, so that's what they use. You know what I'm saying? So, but I would say the thickness, that's always kind of like the question we used to get most. Now, with just the two options, I get that question not nearly as much as we used to because I've simplified it. You know,
with your recommendation, is there any difference for what you would recommend for someone who just boxes and get someone who does MMA?
No, because the same mouth guard would be recommended for, say, professional boxing. So let's say heavy duty, that's what we call our thickest version. That one we recommend for professional boxing, professional MMA, professional kickboxing, professional Muay Thai, right? Where if you're an amateur, then we recommend the standard, which is the thinner version. And even the thinner version, when I say thin, so you see like basketball players, say LeBron James, Steph Curry, even what's the QB for KC, Mahomes? His mouth guard looks like a bleaching tray, like a retainer, right? That's not what I mean when I say thin. Those are ridiculous. The fact that there's athletes out there that use those shows me they just don't know any better. And whatever dentist is making them for them doesn't know any better. Because the right shot, those things aren't going to protect. They're so thin, right? It's like a night guard that you wear when you grind your teeth at night. Or when you're bleaching your teeth, or those are ridiculous. But like our thinner version, which is our standard, let's say we recommend that mouth guard for, say, jiu-jitsu, football, baseball, but also for amateur boxing, amateur Muay Thai. You get what I'm saying? So that standard one kind of, it covers a lot of sports. You know, it's good for a lot of sports. You know, you can't go wrong. It's not too thick. And it's not too thin. It's kind of right in like a little sweet spot where it's nice and comfortable. It's kind of a lightweight feel to it, but it can still take a pretty good beating. Would I recommend that for a professional heavyweight boxer? No, I recommend the heavy duty. You know what I mean? But for example, when we made some mouth guards for Andre Ward, he wanted a version thinner than we even offered.
Oh, really?
He was always accustomed to the really thin dentist made mouth guards, which are really thin. And I had to like talk him into, hey, dude, that's not you've been using it your whole career and you're not a fighter that gets hit a lot, right? That's just not his style. He's pretty slick, crafty. I wouldn't even call Andre Ward really a defensive fighter, but he was, you know, didn't get hit a lot. So it worked out for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I had to kind of talk him into letting me make him something thicker than what he was used to, but was still thinner than like what we even really offer. And he was at light heavyweight, you know what I mean? Fighting Kovalev and, you know, some big punchers. So again, it's all like what you're accustomed to may not be what's right for you. So therefore I make you something that's right for you. And since it's not what you're accustomed to, you say, oh, it's no good, right? Or it's too thick. Which it's not that it's too thick. It's just, it's too thick for your liking. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, the thickness has always kind of been a pain in the butt.
Who was the first boxer and first MMA fighter that you provided a mouthpiece for?
Like a big name type?
Yeah, someone that we'd all know.
Yeah. So the first boxer is Chris Areola. I remember I was at lunch with the guy that sponsored our gym that put on the Battle of Badges. And I remember, like, I got a missed call and I got a voicemail. And I'm at lunch and I check my voicemail. And the voicemails, yeah, this is Chris Areola. I need to get a mouthpiece. Give me a call. Here's my number, blah, blah, blah. And I remember hanging up and telling the other dude, like, whoa, shit. He's like, what? I'm like, dude, Chris Areola just called me for a mouthpiece. And he didn't know much about boxing, so he didn't really get it. But I remember like, oh, crap, that's Chris Areola. Even though he's from Riverside, Chris Areola actually came to spar at our gym a few times when he was still an amateur. But at this time, he was maybe like 12, 13 and 0, something like that. So he started getting like real popular as a pro. MMA fighter, big name MMA fighter might have been probably Brandon Vera. Mm-hmm. When he was still training and fighting down in San Diego. And then maybe like Dominic Cruz.
Oh, nice.
After that, yeah. And then Anderson Silva. I remember getting the voicemail for Anderson Silva also. And it wasn't Anderson that called me. It was somebody that like helped him train. I can't remember the dude's name. Marcos. And he left me a voicemail. And in the voicemail, I said, yeah, Anderson Silva needs some mouthpieces. And I remember being like, oh, shit. That's freaking badass.
Is that the video that's on your website where he orders like 11?
Yeah, he ordered like, no, I think he ordered like 16. I think he ordered 4 for one son, 4 for another son, and then 8 for himself. Yeah, I think he ordered like 16 mouthpieces. Yeah. Yeah, we have a video on the website, on the YouTube, where I have them all covered. Mm. I didn't let him see them yet until like I unveiled all of them, and he was like, holy shit. And I guess before they called me, they had called somebody else. And like they were taking forever. They never answered their calls or something like that. So I think that's what triggered that guy, Marco, to call me and get some mouthpieces for Anderson. So that's how. And then since then, Shuma, I've done a lot of mouthpieces for Anderson. What sucks nowadays, so back then, like when I first moved out this way, I was always driving around to everybody. And it was almost one of those things where if you called me and you needed mouthpieces, I'd go. Especially if you were kind of like a big name, right? Things have changed since then. And I just don't have the time to drive around to everybody, nor do I have the desire or the energy. I mean, that was never fun, right? Like, really. Recently, I don't remember how long it was, less than a year ago, somebody had called for Anderson for me to go do mouthpieces for him again. And I was like, dude, he's got to come here. And they were like, what? I'm like, he's got to come here. I can't make it out there. So there's kind of like a good handful of people that have probably maybe have a bad taste in their mouth now, because maybe I built a relationship with them where they call and I go. And now I don't go no more. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I just don't have the time. Even if I wanted to, we're so much busier now. You know what I'm saying? So Frank Espinoza called me not long ago. He manages Oscar. He manages Joette.
Yeah.
Gonzalez, and he manages Oscar Valdez. And he wanted to get some new mouthpieces for Oscar. And he wanted me to drive down to San Diego. And I was like, dude, Frank, even if I had the time to go, bro, you're looking at least like $600-$700 just for me to drive down there one time. That's not to deliver the mouthpieces. That's not to make the mouthpieces. And Frank was like, well, I'll gladly pay you $600 to go down there and do his fittings for him. And I was like, I don't want to, bro. I don't have the time or the energy. Dude, that drive from here to San Diego fucking sucks. Mm. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is, what time. It's a shitty drive. You know what I mean? The last time Andy Ruiz got mouthpieces from us, they wanted me to go down there. And again, I was still kind of like at that point where, okay, I'll still go, but the fee to go is really high. So anyways, Andy declined on having me drive down there. He drove up here, okay, to get fitted. And I remember right when he walked in the door almost, he was like upset that he had to drive all the way up here. And he was upset that I was going to charge him like $500-$600 to go down there. And I was like, yeah, well, bro, that drive that you just did that sucked ass for you, it would have sucked ass for me. That's why the only way it wouldn't suck so much ass is if you pay me $600. So I don't think people that were accustomed to just calling and yeah, I'll go, I don't think they understand why I don't go anymore. You know what I mean? You make the drive here and you're hating life the whole way here. That's me going to you. And I'm running a business. So you're not just covering my gas. You know what I mean? You got to, the business has to make money, has to pay me, pay the gas and make money. So that's why like a lot of people call me now. Robert Garcia called me recently to go down there to do a bunch of mouthpieces. I had to turn him away. And it's not like to be a dick or to act like I'm too good now. I just don't have the time or the desire or the energy. I'm older, fucking gonna be 44 like in 2 weeks. Like my energy level is not what it was 10 years ago. You know what I mean? So, and I've built up the business luckily to where I don't have to do that to get business. Where back then I kind of had to. You know what I mean? I had to make myself available to people to get them to buy the product, to see the product and see how good it is. That way they can tell their friend and then their friend tells their friend and vice versa. You know what I mean? But now, luckily, I've put in those miles, right? To where I don't have to do that anymore to get enough orders for the business to survive and thrive and grow. You know what I mean? So it's not to be like, oh, I'm too good. You got to come here now. But nah, I'm not doing that no more. I'm still available. You know what I mean? Let me know when you want to come in. But you got to come here. I'm not driving no more.
What's the most exotic or expensive mouthpiece you've ever made? Have you ever had anyone say, I want it covered in gold or some diamonds added or anything exotic like that?
No, I mean, the most exotic would be somebody wanted a $100 bill cut up in little pieces and like certain parts of the $100 bill put into the mouth guard. And that was kind of tricky because $100 bills, first of all, legally, you're not allowed to cut paper money, legally. Secondly, so the way a mouth guard is made, and this isn't really a trade secret, but essentially when there's graphics put in, whether it's just a name or a logo, it's a sticker that's embedded in the mouth guard, right? It's a sticker. So putting a $100 bill, which is not a sticker, and embedding it into the mouth guard was tricky. But, you know, you do that and the dude feels like he's a baller. So, okay, fuck it, I'll do it. You know what I mean? But I remember those whole Floyd Mayweather $25,000 mouth guard thing with what they say, gold flakes or whatever bullshit was in them. Like, I remember just kind of shaking my head at all that. Like, that's, and then here's what's funny. Do you remember those, the $25,000 mouthpieces? And it was for the Pacquiao fight. Do you remember what mouth guard he wore in the Pacquiao fight? None of those. He wore the same clear mouth guard that he's always worn. Yeah, that the company that made those mouth guards, again, their quality is garbage. That's actually a dentist that made those in New York. He had, that dentist had actually ordered a mouth guard from me online, like using somebody else's name. But I caught on like to the billing name and address. And when I realized that it was, this order looks funny, I called. And the dude that answered was like, giving me some BS runaround, right? And I was like, nah, I think you're ordering for so-and-so. I don't know what you guys are up to. So then I called the other number, which was the dental office of the dentist. And he admitted, yeah, that was his order. And he was ordering the mouth guard from me to kind of see the work. And I guess his plan at the time was like, he wanted to start outsourcing his mouth guards. Oh, and he was kind of ordering like from various mouth guard companies. But he wanted like a crazy cheap price and stuff like that. We ended up not like connecting that way. Like me making, even though that's his brand of mouth guards, but we're manufacturing them for him, which I'm kind of glad. Cause now like I look back at it and I don't ever want to do that for anybody. Cause I've had other opportunities to do that where let's say it's another brand mouth guard that they sell with their brand. but yeah, we actually make it for them. So I got away from that idea because I don't want to build up anybody else's brand.
Right.
Even though, let's say it increases production, increases sales, increases revenue, I don't want to build up anybody else's brand. Like, I'll never let a mouth guard leave this office without our logo on it. Doesn't matter what it's going to have our logo on it. So if you want to sell a mouth guard to somebody and upcharge it, go for it. But it's going to have my logo on it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Where if I worked with that dentist, it was going to have his logo. He wanted to make them like in his style. And I was like, dude, I remember telling him, like, no offense, but that's ugly. The way you make your mouth guards is ugly. So, and I mean, you've probably never even heard of the guy that makes Mayweather's mouth guard. So he's obviously not that popular. You know what I mean? He's Mayweather's dentist.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, and that 25 grand, here's the thing. That dude flew out to Vegas like twice. If not three times, because from what I understand, the mouth guards didn't fit right the first time. So he had to come back and do them again. So you got three trips to Vegas, you got hotel and expenses, right? So what that dentist does is obviously he bills them for the mouth guards. And let's say he's charging the mouth guard itself is maybe like $500 a piece. But then he's charging him for all those other expenses, plus whatever days he missed practicing at his practice.
Mm.
So you add all that up and it comes out to 25 grand, right? So somebody catches wind of that and they go, oh, wow, Mayweather has $25,000 mouthpieces. And it's like, is it really a $25,000 mouthpiece? Or you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, just that $100 bill. I remember one dude from Texas sent me a small little diamond. And the design of the mouth guard was like a bunch of teeth and then a missing tooth. And then where the missing tooth was, he wanted the diamond embedded and then laminated on top.
Right.
And he sent it like a little thing. He'd contact me ahead of time. Hey, can you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh yeah, we can do that. So that's probably like, maybe that's the most far out, bougie.
Right.
Bougie design anybody's done. Yeah.
What's the quickest that you could make a mouth guard? And have you had like a fighter say like, hey, I've lost it or a broken one, and it's like fight day and you've had to make one real quick and rush it out to them?
Well, I mean, back in the day, yeah, we can make them pretty quick. We used to offer like a same day.
Mm-hmm.
You come in the morning and then you wait and then, you know, it's ready for you. But we discontinued that a while ago. We used to offer like a one day rush, like maybe it's ready the next day. We used to offer like a 2 day rush. Production used to take like a week and a half. It was like 7 business days. And then it turned to like 2 weeks. And then it turned to like 3 weeks. And now it's at 4 weeks. So I had to eliminate offering these rush services to people. So, but way back, yeah, we used to, I remember, we had one dude drive down from San Francisco. He stayed in a hotel room, came here when we opened in the morning, had his appointment set up, and then, made his mouthpiece for him. And then he drove back up. But we've done stuff like that plenty of times, but just not anytime recently, you know. Just, it throws off the production. When you have to stop and do one, or let's say 3 or 4 people have ordered these rush mouth guards and you got to kind of like set a couple days aside just to work on those, it kind of throws off the production of all the other ones that were here before you. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they didn't pay that extra to cut in line, but I can't facilitate those rushes anymore. But yeah, we've done like same day, wait a couple hours. People still to this day, hey, I lost my mouth guard. I need one ASAP. And I'm like, dog, takes a month. You know what I mean? Here's the thing, right? Okay. So I'm honest. I'm pretty open and honest with my opinions. How the fuck are you a professional athlete? You're a professional fighter. How do you not have all the necessary equipment ahead of time? You get what I'm saying?
100%.
If you're in training camp, How do you not have all your shit done at least mid-training camp? So now your only focus is get ready to peak and go fight. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, this is crazy. How do you not have two? How do you not have, you're supposed to have two mouthpieces in a professional fight. They have to check. I've been there with my own eyes. The referees come and verify that you have two fitted mouth guards. So let's say you're in training camp and one does get stolen. It happens. Your whole gym bag gets stolen or you lose your mouthpiece. How do you not just crack into that spare mouth guard? You get what I'm saying? But no, your one mouth guard that you've had for 4 years because you're a cheap ass got stolen. Now you're fucked and you want me to rescue you. I get this all the time and I get frustrated because it's like, dude, I don't get it. And if you have a manager, how are they not on top of this for you? If your only focus as a fighter should be train and fight, which I get 100%, that should be your only focus. You should have somebody making sure that everything else is handled. But you have probably the new Nikes all the time, right? The new iPhones, the new iPhones coming up in September. You'll have that one for sure. You get what I'm saying? Right. So people's priorities sometimes are just ass backwards. And I can't be everybody's savior when it comes to, I need a mouth guard tomorrow. You know what I mean? Oh, I need to come in on Saturday. Sorry, bro. I'm going fishing Saturday. You know what I mean? But yeah, we used to do those rushes all the time. I mean, it's almost like it doesn't cost you any extra money, right? Let's say we charge $150 to make the mouth guard sooner. It's almost a free $150, but the inconvenience of throwing off the workflow is just not worth it, you know?
How many fighters or teams reach out for like sponsorships of mouth guards?
Fuck, that's the 4-letter word, bro. So teams, not so much, because we're not like our niche isn't really with teams and group orders. There are some mouth guard companies out there, and that's like their niche, right? They're doing whole teams. They're doing, large group orders. Our niche is the single athlete that wants the quality. That's our niche. But we get the sponsorship question. I would say we used to get it a lot. Nowadays, not so much. I think maybe the word has spread enough that we don't do sponsorships. So people don't ask as much, but we do still get them. And it's funny because somebody will write like a long old bio. Oh man, I train hard. I started when I was a little kid. I wrestled. Now I box. I train with this person, blah, blah, blah. Like this whole fucking long bio. We're looking for a mouth guard sponsor. I'm like, dude, it's $150. You know what I mean? If you're looking for somebody to sponsor your mouth guard, send that bio to another company or another person that will sponsor you and then just have them pay me for your mouth guard. And there's your sponsored mouth guard. But we get that a lot. Even like NFL players have reached out. Frank Gore. I'm a Niner fan, bro. Since I was a little kid, I got a 49ers keychain hanging right here in the office for the bathroom. Since I was a little kid, dude, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Tom Rathman. I love the 49ers. So Frank Gore's manager called. He had like some fight recently with another basketball player or something, right?
Yeah.
On what? One of Jake Paul's cards or something. Like
Trilla.
Trilla. Yeah, there you go. So a couple months previous to that, his manager called and introduced himself, told him who he represented. Frank Gore had a fight coming up. He's training in Florida. And, you know, they're looking for a mouth guard sponsor. I'm like, oh, snap. I fucking love Frank Gore. I'm a Niners fan. I love Frank Gore. But we don't do sponsorships. And the dude was, like, offended. And he was trying to, like, convince me why you don't do sponsorships, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's just not what we do. Everybody that you see with our mouth guard, back, I would do stuff like that. If somebody was kind of popular or a big name fighter, I might be like, hey, let me make you a mouth guard. If you like it, use it. If you don't, give it back. Or I'll make you a mouth guard. Give me some posts on social media. But I don't do that anymore. Probably well over like 5 or 7 years or something like that. I haven't done anything like that. But he was like offended that I wouldn't do it for him. And she's like, dude, I don't owe you. Do I owe you? Cause you're popular and you're a great athlete. Like, why do I owe you? You know? And I just look at it. Here, there's two reasons why I don't do sponsorships anymore at all. Two reasons. A, every time I make a mouthpiece, like that's my time that I have to sit down from start to finish and make that mouthpiece. There's no machines or computer software that you plug in and shit gets made on its own, right? Mouth guards are 100% handmade by a human the whole way through. And I value my time. So if I make a mouthpiece for anybody, like I want to get paid. I don't give two shits about your Instagram followers. I could care less about social media. Pay me just like everybody else and we're square. That's the first reason. Second reason, let's say for Anderson Silva, dude's bought a lot of mouthpieces from me, okay? Not just those 16. I mean, he's done a lot of mouth guards from me since then, right? And he's paid for every one of them. Okay, so Anderson Silva, he could probably put a thing on his social or have somebody reach out and anybody would be happy to make him some mouth guards for free, right? All he has to do is ask for them. And I guarantee he can get plenty of mouth guards for free, right? Okay. So even though he can get the free mouth guards, he prefers to come to me where he has to pay out of his own pocket, right? So if I'm an average dude and I happen to know Anderson gets all these mouthpieces from Mouthpiece Guy, and Mouthpiece Guy doesn't sponsor. So Anderson's bought all those mouth guards from him, even though Anderson can get freebies from this other company, this other company, this other company. Which company should I get my mouth guard from? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
That's probably more importantly than pay me reason is I'm trying to, over the long haul, project the brand as if you want it, you're going to pay for it. And it's the best you're going to get. It's worth it. All these other athletes pay for it. So you get what I'm trying to like a Gucci, like somebody else was telling me earlier, how come you don't do a deal on a second or third mouth guard? And you used to do like a discount or something like that. And it's because I want the brand to be kind of like Apple or, Louis Vuitton. None of those brands have sales. Apple doesn't sell. You never get any product from Apple that's on sale. Same thing with Gucci or even like those high-end clothing brands. When they have new, like their 2002 clothing line is old and they're coming out with 2003, you don't see 2002 on discount. They burn them, right? They destroy them. You get what I'm saying? So that's always kind of been like, that's essentially long-term. That's what I want to be recognized as. Not the sponsor company, not the discount company, but you know, the high-end company that you're going to wait a little while for it. You're going to pay more for it, but it's, you know, levels above all these others. Dude, if you were here in person and I went to the back and showed you all these mouth guards from all these other companies, you'd be like, holy shit, how are they getting away with claiming that they do a good job? It's fucking horrible. So that's what I think about sponsorships. Find somebody to sponsor you and you'll have a sponsored mouth guard. You know what I'm saying?
In the making of a mouth guard, obviously you have to put, is it like the putty into the mouth? And obviously it's set to mold around the teeth.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any fighters that, you know, can't hold it in, they throw up, or they have a gag reflex or anything like that?
Yep. Yes to all of those questions. I haven't had anybody throw up in my hand in a long time. I've gotten really good at kind of coaching them through what's about to be done and helping them prepare mentally to you know, what they're about to go through. And then also with taking the impression itself, not say overloading and putting more putty than is necessary. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've had people, and not just fighters, right? Like a lot of people do think, oh, we make mouth guards just for boxers. No, we do any sport, right? And I've kind of gotten away from focusing on boxing, because then you get put in a box and people go, oh, I didn't know you made, I do jujitsu, I don't know you made jujitsu mouth guards. You get what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, dude, I'll be holding an impression in somebody's mouth while it sets and they start puking. I just get them a trash can, let them puke in the trash can, and I just hold that sucker until the timer goes off. Because otherwise, if I take it out, we got to start over. You know what I'm saying? But I've had people puke in my hand plenty of times. It's so gross. Like, if they puke, I'm almost going to puke. It's a fucking nightmare when that happens. Little kids, maybe. But see, now, like I said, I've gotten, you know, better at that aspect of the job. But then also what I do, so if somebody's coming here to get fitted in person, you know, I'll send them like a confirmation, an email, like an appointment confirmation email. But then in that email, I'll tell them how to prepare for your fitting. So first, brush and floss your teeth. Second, don't eat a large meal before you come. So if you come on an empty stomach, then you'll probably be okay. But if you just go to Denny's and grub up the street and then you come straight to your visit, you might throw up all over the place. But yeah, it hasn't happened in a long time. I would say well over, man, I can't even remember the last time somebody did throw up. It's been that long, but I would say at least like 4 years that somebody's puked. Yeah. I have a bad gag reflex.
Does the price go up?
I should, right? I should add a puke fee. I should add a puke fee. What I should do is charge an extra puke fee ahead of time. And if they don't puke, they get a refund on that fee. Right. That's what I should do. That's not a bad idea. I'm gonna consider that. But yeah, that's gross, man. Anytime somebody pukes. Mostly it'd be like little kids, but I've had like grown adults throw up.
Behind MMA and boxing, which I assume are the top two sellers, what's the third and fourth most popular spot that you provide guards for?
Jiu-jitsu. I mean, there's a fucking jiu-jitsu gym on every corner.
Right.
And it's not just dudes. It's not just adults. Like, there's little kids in jiu-jitsu. There's soccer moms in jiu-jitsu. There's cute little fucking Instagram wannabe models in jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Like, everybody can do jiu-jitsu. So everybody does jiu-jitsu because everybody does want to know how to defend themselves, right? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I would say realistically that probably, I might do more mouth guards for athletes other than boxing and MMA now. I mean, we still do a lot of boxing MMA, right? But like I said, I got out of trying to be put in that boxing box because I knew it just wasn't smart for the business to only be known as the person that does mouth guards for boxers. So, but yeah, we've expanded to all BMX, motocross, bull riding, you know, rodeo.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think if I had to break it all down and let's say of 1,000 mouth guards that we sold, I'd bet more. Let's say if I added up boxing and MMA and then all the other sports combined versus boxing and MMA combined, I bet all the other sports would be more than the boxing and MMA now, which before it was like 99%. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And then it just slowly like tilted. And it's not that the boxing and MMA customers dropped. It was that the other athlete customers rose. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So
does a good, well-fitted mouthpiece help prevent knockouts and concussions?
Man, you know what, dude? A lot of people will say that it's not proven. So you won't really find dental literature on it because you know a lot of dentists, right? So the dental literature, you know, they won't claim that yet. I guess there hasn't been enough studies to prove that it prevents the knockouts and concussions. But I tell you what, I fought a lot. I sparred a lot. If I went to go spar right now without a mouthpiece and got cracked on the chin versus with a mouthpiece and got cracked with that same punch at the same spot on the chin, I mean, you'd have to be a fool to not realize, yeah, that mouth guard is going to help me not get slipped. You know what I'm saying? Mm. The way it works. So it's more than just like a teeth protector, right? So like at the base of the skull, it's called the condyle. This is the condyle. This is the condyle head. Like this is the lower jaw, right? And then it rests at the base of the skull. So at the base of the skull is like a little socket. And then here's the jawbone, kind of sits in that little socket, right? In that little area is like a bunch of nerve endings, okay? So when you close your teeth all the way, that socket kind of like just rests. It rests, the bone, the jawbone, right? Rests in that little socket, okay? When you have a mouth guard in your mouth, you can't bite down all the way, right? Because there's a piece of plastic in your mouth. So obviously your top and bottom teeth, they can't fully contact each other. So the space between your top and bottom teeth translates to a little bit of a space here, right? So if you get cracked with no mouth guard, what causes a knockout and concussion, really, when you get hit on the chin, that's why, I mean, yeah, you can get knocked out, get hit in the head, getting hit in the temple, or maybe, you know, back of the head, right? But as a fighter or even a fight fan, when you crack somebody, boom, right on the chin, like that's the money spot, right? The reason that's the money spot is because when that happens, this happens. Okay, so your jaw that goes up here bangs into that socket at the base of the skull where all those nerve endings are, turns out the lights. Okay, so now put a mouth guard in. So now you have a little bit of a space, right? A little bit of a gap, a little bit of a bumper. So you take that same shot and the impact here isn't as great because of that space between your top and bottom teeth. Since they can't touch, this can't fully touch. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it does act as a bumper when it comes to this. So, I mean, I don't know why. Maybe they have now. There's studies that say, yeah, mouth guards do help prevent concussion. But for a long time, like nobody would ever claim that, you know what I'm saying? So I always tell people, yeah, it's going to help. Of course it's going to help. What's your other option? No mouth guard. You know what I mean? You either got no mouth guard or mouth guard. What do you think? You want to find out whether a mouth guard helps protect against concussion or no mouth guard? Like, dude, just wear a mouth guard. Of course it has to help. Just because of that alone, it has to help, even if it's a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So nothing guarantees though, right? Like nothing prevents, just help prevent. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather get hit with a mouth guard if I'm going to get hit on the chin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What goes through your mind when you're watching a pro fight and you see a mouth guard come flying out the mouth?
Oh, man. Nowadays, I kind of don't care. Like fucking people, do what you're going to do. But man, I used to get really frustrated with especially like high level fights. James DeGale versus Badu Jack, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago. Dude's false teeth came flying out. The fucking cut man came in the ring and grabbed the porcelain bridge off the mat. Right? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had a shit mouth gum shield. He's European, right? He had a horrible gum shield. And I could see it. I remember even when they were announcing the fighters in the ring, I remember seeing him flopping this mouth guard around in his mouth and being like, oh, dude, what the fuck? And then sure enough, look what happens, right? But you still see it all the time, whether it's high level or not high level. Boom, mouth guards go flying. And I think what it is, and I used to be a little bit more aggressive in my comments towards it because I would get frustrated with it. And it's not that I'm losing business, but it would just be frustrating because it is my industry. It's just ignorance. And I don't mean that like in a derogatory way. I mean that in a definition of the word ignorance way. They just don't know. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't know that your mouth guard should snap tight and lock in, if so-and-so's friend that works at the dental lab made it for you and it fits your teeth, So it's obviously more comfortable than the Boylan bike, and you've never had any different. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? So, but somebody's got to know. Somebody in the coach, the buddy, the sparring partners, somebody has to know that mouth guards shouldn't fit like that. They shouldn't fly, that they should stay locked in. Now, here's the thing. I would say 70, 80% of people, that mouth guard snaps in and it's not going anywhere. But even when it's properly made, you got an accurate quality impression and the mouth guard is made the way it's supposed to be made, there's still a very small percentage of people that can like still take it out with their tongue, right? They can work it and pop it out. So that being said, you know, those mouth guards are going to be a little bit more prone to flying out with the right shot. There's nothing you can do about it. But you see people where it's obvious that that mouth guard is not properly made. Or here's another thing. You know, when you make a mouth guard for somebody and it fits perfect, dead nuts, 100% in the beginning, how they treat that mouth guard is going to affect how well it works months down the road. So if I made a mouth guard for somebody and I know they came and got fitted and they picked it up and we checked the fit, that it was perfect. But let's say later on, I see them fight and it goes flying. In my head, I'm like, I know that thing should not fly. Really, that's going to be like not taking care of it properly, because you do want to take care of these. They're made of a very sensitive material. That soft plastic that they're made of is very heat sensitive. So any heat is going to distort that shape. So if you leave your gym bag in your car all day with your mouth guard in it and it's hot outside, that mouth guard that's shaped like this, just because of the heat, could go like this. Right. You get what I'm saying? And when it does that, even just a little bit, that could cause a looser fit. And if you're not, you know, on point with taking care of it, or if you wash it with hot water, like what? Oh, my God. That is so bad. People don't take care of their mouth guard, right? So then it gets gross. So then I think, okay, let me just wash this with hot water so it's not gross. That hot water is going to ruin that perfect, snug, snap-tight fit. So they're very sensitive. That's kind of, it's kind of a bummer in a way, because you would think like paying all this money for this really quality product, it should last, which it will, but only if you take care of it properly. If you don't, then yeah, that thing might go flying. Or if it's made by Impact, Gladiator, Damage Control, fucking Guard Lab, any of those other shit companies, those things are flying. I had a guy call me today, this morning, and he wants to drive out from Arizona. And this isn't the first time somebody who's driven like from Arizona to come get a mouthpiece. And he was telling me he's been fighting for a long time. And he's used all the other mouth guard companies. And he's like, yeah, it just seems like yours is going to be the best. And I told him, well, I mean, not to be braggadocious, but yeah, it is. Without a doubt, it is. So do what you got to do. Get some time off from work so you can come down and make the trip. It'll be worth it. But not all mouth guards are created equally, man. People think that. Oh, a mouth guard is a mouth guard. But it's not. If somebody came in and stood over my shoulder the whole process from A to Z, from the very beginning to the very end, and they saw what it took. And then you compare the process to any of those other companies out there. You're like, what the fuck? This is like Gordon Ramsay versus the cook at Denny's. Like, I'm dead nuts serious. I've never had anybody, from my knowledge, get a mouth guard from Impact or Gladiator or anybody because the quality was better. Never. You know what I mean? Cheaper? Yeah. Quicker? Yeah. Freebie? Yeah. Sponsorship? Yeah. Better? Fuck no. Not even close. Not even close. But I've had plenty of customers from that have got mouth guards from them that came here because they wanted better. You know what I mean? And they bit the bullet to pay the extra money. They waited a month. But then in the end, they send the email saying, dude, thank you. So much better, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, post that shit. Put it on Yelp. Don't tell me, because I know. I know it's better. Fucking Yelp it. Give me 5 stars on my Google business page. But there's just so much that goes into it, man. There's just so much that goes into it. It's not just a mold, a model, plastic. Back in 1999, that's what we did. A mold, model, plastic. But like I said, those were garbage back then compared to, you know, what it is now. You know, my cousin, who's one of the first dudes that we made a mouth guard for years ago. This is, man, like 10 years ago, maybe I ran into him. He fought pro and at the gym, and he walks up to me and he pulls out of his pocket. He goes, hey, Jeff, all right, what's up? And he pulls out of his pocket his fucking first mouthpiece that we made for him, which very well might have been, besides my mouthpiece, like the first or second mouthpiece ever. He pulls it out of his pocket. He's like, dude, I still have this. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's fucking crazy. And then I saw him again like a year later. And I'm like, hey, Raul, you don't have that mouthpiece anymore? I'll buy it off you. Because that would be cool to put in a little box, circa 2000, second mouthpiece ever made. And dude, garbage mouthpiece, right? But he used it for like all his pro fights. And he fucking could never find it again. He moved again. His dad passed away. He can never find that mouthpiece again. I was always just so bummed out that he can never find that mouthpiece again. But that would have been cool to have that OG mouthpiece guy. It wasn't even a mouthpiece guy. I was just an employee at the time working at this place. But that would have been cool to have. But yeah, the process has definitely changed. Yeah.
I think I'm right in saying, didn't Joe Rogan order one from you?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say order. I hooked him up because I knew he posts that shit on his Instagram. My shit's going to blow up. Right. But this would have been like I want to say maybe like 2016. Okay. So remember I told you that my Donna mouthpiece went viral.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it went viral on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of it. Right. And I remember on my Twitter, and I had probably like I still don't have a lot of Twitter followers, but I barely had a Twitter at all. But Joe Rogan Joe Rogan followed you. I'm like, oh shit, that's fucking cool. And then he direct messaged me on Twitter. He's like, hey, I need a mouth guard. How do we do it? And I messaged him back. I don't remember what my response was exactly, but he didn't reply back. So anyways, a couple years goes by. This is when I was living in Hemet. So a couple years goes by. I'm now out here and I'm doing mouth guards full time. And my buddy's a big Joe Rogan fan. So we hear that Joe Rogan's going to be doing some stand up in Pasadena at the Ice House, which is from here in Covina. Pasadena is like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So anyways, I fucking concoct a plan. I'm like, okay, let's go to the show. Let's go watch Joe. And then after the show, when he kind of like shakes hands with people and takes photos, I'm gonna sneak attack him. So we all order tickets. There's like four of us. We order tickets to the show. We go to, I take my little bag of stuff to do the fitting. And we go to a show. His show's over. We go eat. We come back. Second show's over. So now is when he kind of comes out and meets fans and takes photos, right? So I jump in line and I wear a mouthpiece guy shirt. It was like a black shirt with a yellow mouthpiece guy. Like you can't, it fucking stands out. So anyways, I'm waiting in line. So then it's my turn to take a photo with Joe Rogan. And as I walk up to shake his hand and you know, pose for the photo, he goes, oh shit, mouthpiece guy. And I'm like, that's right, bro. And he's like, oh man, we still got to do that, huh? I go, I got my shit in the car, dude. He's like, oh, fuck, rat. All right, after I'm done here, we'll. And sure enough, so took the photo with them and then went back to my car with my buddies, bullshitting. And then, yeah, after he was done with all his, you know, saying hi to the fans, he came over to the car, did his fitting, and then delivered the mouth guards to him. Like a week later, he's performing like in Hollywood at, what's that? Comedy Store. And, you know, we had emailed back and forth about the design and he was like, just kind of do whatever. I'm like, all right, okay, we can do that. And my buddy, being a big Joe Rogan fan, like totally helped me design, like we made three of them for him. And he really helped me with the design of all of them. And then Joe like got us tickets into the Ice House show to deliver the mouth guards to him. So then after the Ice House show, you know, I kind of crept around back and he saw my shirt again. He's like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Come on back. Come on back. And delivered the mouth guards to him. And he was fucked. Dude, I remember I have it on video. I had never posted it. I have it on video, that whole delivery process that we did. And he was like, dude, he was blown away. Fuck, like after he saw him, dude, he like gave me a hug because he was just so like, dude, this fucking, that's, bro, that's art, bro. Like he was just like, he's probably stoned, right? So obviously you're always more fucking huggy feely when you're stoned. But yeah. And then, he's like, yeah, dude, I'm gonna post these. I'm like, hell yeah. Cool. Cause I knew he had such a big following, and his following, here's the thing. Certain people may have a really big following, but is their following really my target demographic? Like somebody wanted me to do mouth guards for Justin Bieber years back, and they wanted free mouthpieces for them and free mouthpieces for Justin. And I was like, yeah, Justin's got a lot of followers, but they're fucking teenage girls. So what does that really do for me? So I was like, nah, I'm going to pass. But Joe Rogan, people that are in the sport of jiu-jitsu, boxing, MMA, those people follow him. So it made sense to, okay, let me put in this time and effort to do these because I know it'll pay off. And so many people like that design. I started getting a lot of emails and questions about buying the design that Joe Rogan got, which is like this cool outer space design. And where planet Earth is, it's the Joe Rogan logo. And then over here where Pluto is the 10th planet logo. Like really cool design. Again, my buddy Sean, shout out to Sean, helped me with that design big time. So then I emailed Joe and I was like, hey, dude, I'm getting a lot of requests to people that want to buy this specific design, but it has your logo on it. It has 10th planet logo on it. Like, what do you think? He's like, no, go for it. He's like, yeah, that's awesome. Go ahead. So then I just turned that into an actual product. You know, in fact, hold on, bro, hold on. Dude. Let me see. That's it right there for a customer ordered this. And it's finished. It's on the finished rack, ready to go through quality control and ship out Monday. But okay, so it's a solar system, right? Mm. With all the planets and the sun. And then you see that's where Earth, I mean, it can't focus real good, right? But that's the Joe Rogan logo where Earth should be. And then that's the 10th planet logo. That's funny you bring that up. And it's right. Sitting here, right here. Yeah. It's for, see, like people just order this one. You know what I mean? They can do whatever design they want, but they thought, I mean, Joe Rogan has like a pretty hardcore following. You know what I'm saying? Some people are pretty like, they're like Joe Rogan heads, like deadheads, but Joe Rogan heads. So, yeah, he was stoked on him, man. He was really stoked on him. He shouted, like, I want to say maybe twice during the UFC event when a mouth guard goes flying. He said, like, oh, man, they need to call the mouthpiece guy. Like, during a UFC broadcast and maybe a handful of times on his podcast. So, that's a situation where, yeah, we don't do sponsorships, right? But I'm not an idiot. You know what I'm saying? So, if I know it's going to pay off to hook this person up, on my terms, right? It's like on my terms. Of course, do it. You know what I mean? Well, it's backfired though. It's backfired plenty. That's one of the reasons why I stopped doing it. Cause like I said, I used to do these things right with people. And a lot of people, they don't come through with their end of the deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason, big name athletes or actors, AKA Halle Berry, they look down on you, I guess. And it's like, okay, I provided, I did my part. Now it's time for you to do your part. And you never hear from them. They never give you the publicity they promise. So I've had so many of those little experiences where I'm like, man, fuck it. Anybody wants a mouthpiece, they're paying for it. That way I don't have any negative feelings. I can't have any negative feelings towards them. You know what I mean? And I don't have to stress about it. You know, I did like 30 mouthpieces for Halle Berry and all the people involved in that movie that she just did.
The Netflix one.
Yeah. And got zero of the publicity I was promised. Fucking zero. That much. Zero. And it's like, dude, it's like a $4,000 or $5,000 order or whatever. It was a lot. I remember I did the math. Like, dude, that's how much I should be charging them. I better come up on this shit. And then the movie comes out and nothing. You know what I mean? And that's just one experience. I've had a lot of these experiences with people. Jesse Vargas, that fucking guy, didn't want to pay me like $100 for a mouthpiece some years back. This is when I was still in Hemet. Didn't want to pay me. And finally, after, dude, like weeks of bugging him, he wouldn't answer my phone or my text. But then I call him from the office line one time. I get him on the phone and he's like, bro, I make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, bro. I'm not worried about $104. I'm like, cool. So pay me. Pay me so I can ship you this fucking mouthpiece and we'll be straight. So finally, like an assistant or something calls me or texts me or something. I finally get the money from them, right? So I ship them the mouth guard. And they fucking sent it back. Like they didn't want it. Like they were like, I don't know, butthurt towards me. So they didn't, I don't want your mouth. Here's your money. I don't want your mouth guard, right?
Right.
And it's like, bro, why are you here and I'm here? You get what I'm saying? I've always hated like the social dynamics of people that put themselves here and other people are here. My whole life, I've hated that. So when I experience that with people, I'm like, man, go fuck yourself. So now to avoid those stresses, just buy the mouthpiece.
Right.
$150, $200, whatever it is. Just buy it, bro, and we'll be cool. I'll never feel awkward if I see you at fights. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So yeah, there's been all kinds of those little scenarios. So that's why I don't do that stuff anymore. That's another reason, I guess.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you giving me nearly 2 hours of your day.
Has it been 2 hours?
Yeah, nearly.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I always do one last thing just before we finish with everybody that I interview.
Okay.
For anybody that's listening that wants to follow in your footsteps into, you know, making mouthpieces or something similar, what advice would you give them?
Fuck off. This is my industry. Get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you going to do? Do better than me? No. Get lost. I have zero advice for somebody that wants to get into making mouth guards. A lot of times on my Instagram, if I post something, so I can't get DMs anymore. Thank God I figured out the settings to turn off DMs on Instagram. I don't even get them anymore. Thank God. I fucking hated that, but I'll still get comments. And I could tell that person, their question is like dental related. So they use a terminology or something that tips me off that they're in the dental field, or maybe they're trying to learn to make mouth guards or something. I click on their profile and scrolling through all their stupid photos of their cats and their food and their selfies. And I'll see a photo of, say, a mouth guard that they made. I blocked those motherfuckers. Yeah, I've zero. Dude, I told you, nobody taught me this, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody helped me all those fucking years that I was trying to learn how to do this stuff. Nobody helped me. So when somebody asks me for help, I tell them to kick rocks. You know what I mean?
That's one of the greatest replies I think I've had in the interview. I didn't expect that, to be honest with you. Well, Jeff,
why would you want to teach somebody to, regardless of the industry, right?
Right.
Why would you want to encourage somebody to do what you do so they could take your clients?
No.
Anytime somebody, okay, we all have a client base, right? Impact has a client base. Gladiator, everybody has a client base, essentially, right? The way I look at it, again, I'm competitive. Anytime anybody on the fucking, let's just say the US, gets a mouth guard from anybody other than me, I personally take offense to that. You know what I mean? I do. I don't give two shits if the guy at Impact can pay his rent. I don't give two shits if the guy at Damage Control can pay his rent. I don't care. It's dog eat dog world. That's the world we live in. And even though maybe being selfish, people say, oh, don't be selfish. It's our nature as humans to be selfish. Mm-hmm. We are our own first priority in pretty much anything, right? Even when you have kids, I don't have kids, thank fucking God. But still, there's still like a selfishness to you to survive and thrive yourself as well as your children. So no, don't do mouth guards. I'll talk shit on you on social media if you do mouth guards. That's, I mean, that's just the truth. That, I mean, I'm just being real.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Get out the game. Get out the mouth guard game.
Well, Jeff, if you want to tell everybody where they can find you, your website, anything that Mouth Guards has coming up.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're on social media. Everything is at Mouthpiece Guy. I don't give two shits about social media. So I'd rather people just search our website out. Anytime anybody contacts us for anything, I always kind of steer them to the website anyways. But yeah, man, I mean, the work is coming out the best it's ever been. I'm making mouth guards where you forget you're even wearing them, even though they're the thickest protection level we offer. That's pretty much it, man. You know, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Mouthpieceguy.com, at Mouthpiece Guy, YouTube. There's not much on the YouTube channel, mostly just instructional videos. But yeah, this has been fun, man.
No, I appreciate your time. And we are at TLR MMA for the MMA version and at the Last Round 12 for our boxing version on Instagram and Twitter. Catch us next time. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Last Round MMA podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and interviews. In the meantime, follow The Last Round MMA on Twitter and Instagram at TLR MMA.